Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Spear, and I'm the student ministries pastor here at First Nazarene Church. And today is a special Sunday. I mean, every Sunday is special, but this one in particular, this one hits home for me. Today's the day we get to celebrate and acknowledge all the students who have graduated from middle school and high school and every other form of study that they've had. Like we've already mentioned today, this is a really transitional time for people. The last 16 months have been a very, very long, arduous year, full of new challenges and new struggles and new anxieties. And I am so proud of the students who have learned to navigate doing school online, learned to navigate masks, learned to navigate all of these new challenges, and come out the other side. You made it. Congratulations to you from everyone at First Nazarene Church, from everyone involved with Ignite Student Ministries. We are so proud of you, and we're excited to see how God uses you in this next chapter of your life. When I was thinking back about graduation, I was reminded of what my brother wrote in my graduation card when I graduated from high school. He said, "Make time for memories, because every adult in this room knows that life gets busy. And when life gets busy, oftentimes we miss what's happening right in front of us. We're so consumed with the past, all the things that we wish we could change that we can't. We're far too concerned with the future, all the things that are out there that we'd love to accomplish, but we're just not there yet." I'm reminded of a time when I got the opportunity to be a part of one of my best friend's proposals. He asked me to be the videographer, which meant don't be seen and film with your iPhone. And I did a mediocre job. I was seen and I was kind of not in focus the whole time. But I was standing in the back and I was looking through my camera on my phone and I felt one of my other friends come up behind me, his warm breath on my neck, which is not what you want to feel. And he whispered in my ear, "Don't forget to look up." He had noticed that I had only been focused on this little screen. And I was seeing it, but I wasn't experiencing it. And so for my advice for you is make time for memories. Be intentional about that time. Because people say all the time, it's the small moments that they look back on fondly. So in those small moments, don't forget to look up. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the chance to worship you in a free space, in a completely open space. God, I pray that you speak to open hearts and open minds today, that you speak in this moment, that we walk away having learned something, having connected with you. God, I pray that you help us to keep moving towards you every day that we're alive. Amen. I remember when. My parents and my grandparents would often start stories that way when I was young. They'd say, "I remember when," and my mom would tell me about how the price of gas and groceries were far cheaper when she was in college, how she could fill her tank for like 10 bucks. And I'm like, I would give anything to fill my tank for 10 bucks. My grandpa would tell me about the time he saw the first computer he had ever come into contact with and how large it was, how it took up what felt like a whole room. My grandma would tell us about the time where she was when she found out that President John F. Kennedy had been shot. My dad would wax poetic about his time in college and that one time he spent New Year's Eve in Trafalgar Square. And I remember thinking as a young kid, maybe 7 or 8, I can't wait to be a 65-year-old man. Which, if you know me, I'm pretty much already there internally. I'm aging into my actual age, I think. But I felt that way because I wanted moments too. I wanted to be able to tell my children and my grandchildren, "I remember when," and insert a litany of memories. Because the truth is, memories are really important. As Pastor Casey Tigert notes, memories are what make us. They help us to know where we've been, but also to know where we're going. As a pioneer in neuroscience, Eric Kandel notes this: without the mental time travel provided by memory, We would have no awareness of our personal history, no way of remembering the joys that serve as the luminous milestones of our lives. And get this is the part I want you to see. We are who we are because of what we learn and what we remember. Memories, our ability to look back and to recall these things, help us to shape our inner narrative, not only of ourself, but of our family. But most importantly, it helps us to shape our inner narrative of who we think God is. And so today, I could think of no better thing to tell the graduates than to talk about memories. And to do that, we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy. So if you brought a Bible and you want to read along, we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 18 through 21. But before we get there, we have a lot of ground to cover, contextually speaking. You see, Deuteronomy mainly focuses on this guy named Moses. Moses was born an Israelite, but raised in Pharaoh's household in Egypt, in a time where Israelites were not treated very well in Egypt. They were enslaved, they were abused, they were mistreated. But because of being raised by Pharaoh's daughter, almost as like an adopted son, Moses was treated quite well. And he lived much of his young adult and adult life seeing his people mistreated and enslaved. And over time, God had asked Moses to go essentially be the mouthpiece, to speak on his behalf to the Pharaoh, to speak to the principalities and powers that be. And so he did. He said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And you know what Pharaoh said? No. And he kept saying no until after enough poking, prodding, and plagues, he said, please just take them. I don't even want them anymore. Just get rid of them. They were becoming a major pain in the butt. Just get rid of them. And so there we see the great exit, or what we would call the great exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And God had made a promise to Moses and subsequently the Israelites that he would lead them to a promised land, a land that would be set apart for them to build this new society and this new kingdom. But in the meantime, they had to wander through the desert. And they wandered for so long that over time they started to wonder about this promise God had made, and that if God would keep up his end of the bargain. And so we find ourselves in Deuteronomy chapter 24 with Moses getting ready to pass on the torch of leadership to the next leader of Israel, who would be Joshua. He's getting to the end of his life. And so these final chapters of Deuteronomy, we start to see basically what the equivalent would be of his final marching orders to the people of Israel. This is how you're supposed to interact as a society. This is what you're supposed to do. And so that's where we pick up our story in Deuteronomy chapter 24. It says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your fields and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, there's a lot in this passage that we could talk about, but really, I want to hone in on three things in particular. Three things that Moses basically tells the Israelites to keep in mind. Three things to remember that I think still remain pertinent for us. The first of which being, remember Egypt. It comes as a weird moment in verse 18 when he starts and says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, as if they've forgotten. And this isn't an isolated event. Moses continually is reminding the Israelites, hey, don't forget Egypt. Because the fear is that if you forget where you've been, you'll wind up back there. See, that goes against the grain in our culture because we live in a forgive and forget culture, right? Forgive, move on, don't act like it didn't happen. Or treat it the Irish way, shove it deep down and never talk about it, right? Forgive and forget. And Moses is actually telling them to do the complete opposite. Forgive and remember. Don't forget what happened to you. Because Moses knows the danger in forgetting. The cruel reality is that history does, in fact, tend to repeat itself. We tend to wind up in the places we forget. One example of this would be the Israelites in Numbers 14, starting to grumble about being in the desert. They say, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us out into this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. We sit here and we think, well, that's an extreme example. They were abused, they were mistreated, they were enslaved, they were seen as less than. Why would they ever want to go back to Egypt? What's waiting for them? And we think that that's crazy, but in reality, we're forgetting that they've been in the desert a really long time. And in the desert, it's easier to go back to a known evil than an unknown possibility. It's easier to go back to what we know than what we don't know yet. And so Moses is continually reminding the Israelites, don't forget Egypt. Don't forget the way you were treated there. Don't go back. There's nothing waiting for you. And we might think that's crazy. We might think, well, how short-sighted of the Israelites. How could they want to go back? And I think if we gave it a minute's notice or a minute's thought, we could all recall moments where we've been in the same position. We've been in the desert a really long time, and it seems better to go back to the addiction. It seems better to go back to the harmful relationship. It seems better to go back to the insecurity, the unfulfillment, the unsatisfaction. It seems better to go back because we know it's waiting for us. And Moses is reminding the Israelites over and over again, don't forget that there's nothing waiting for you back there. Nothing's waiting for you. Dr. Brenda Salter McNeil, in her book, The Roadmap to Reconciliation, gives this really interesting paradigm. She says that for reconciliation to take place, there has to be a catalytic event. Another way to say that is there has to be an aha moment or a light bulb that goes off in your mind where everything clicks into place and it makes sense. And she says, after that aha moment, which for the Israelites would have been their exodus from Egypt, that would have been their catalytic event. She says, you can do one of two things. You can either move forward towards transformation, or you can move backwards towards preservation. All too often, we find ourselves choosing to move forward, but we forget why, and we end up choosing preservation in the long run. I wonder how many of us along the line have chosen to move towards transformation, to move towards Jesus, but along the way, we're in the desert for so long that we end up going back to where we started. God is calling us to transformation. Don't forget Egypt. Don't forget where you come from, so you don't wind up back there. The second thing, though, that Moses tells the Israelites to remember is to remember God. Seems like an easy one. In verse 18 again, it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and then it says, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. The Israelites are in the desert, and for so long, God has made this promise to them that there's this promised land out there, but they've been in the desert so long that they're starting to question if the promise was real. They're starting to question if God really is trustworthy, if God really is good. And I think about the old story of the guy who decides he wants to swim across the lake. So he swims out into the middle of the lake and gets so tired that he decides, you know, I should probably just swim back, not realizing that it's the same distance to the other shore. The Israelites are stuck in the desert and they're wondering if God really can be trusted. And what Moses is doing is reminding them that God has been faithful in the past and he will be again. This was a common thing biblical writers would do. They would call back on the ways that God had been faithful to them to remind them that God is still faithful, that God is still here, that the promised land is still out there. Sometimes in the busyness of our life, we forget to remember God's faithfulness. We forget to recognize the ways that God has already been working in our lives, the little and big things. And the reality of this is we don't recognize the steps it's taken to get here. I had a t-shirt when I was a young teen, when I was about 14, that said, I'm not the man I should be on the front. And then on the back it would say, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Now as a 14-year-old, I don't think I understood what this shirt meant. I just bought it because it was on sale. But looking back, there's a significance to this because it has an understanding that we're all a work in progress. God's not finished with us yet. We live in a microwave, fast food, Amazon Prime culture. We want change to happen now. If I could get my Amazon delivery that's supposed to be delivered today when I ordered it on Thursday, I would have loved that. We don't want to have to wait. Patience is running thin, and that's where the Israelites find themselves. In the middle of the desert, their patience is gone, and they want to be in the promised land. But the journey of faith is a long one. It's easy to forget the steps we've taken to get to where we are. We're so focused on the amount of steps it's going to take to get to the promised land that we've forgotten how many steps we've taken to get to this moment. We're so consumed with how much further that we're not concerned with how much progress we've made. As Eugene Peterson puts it, faith is a long obedience in the same direction, and faith requires small, daily, intentional steps towards Jesus. Sometimes we view faith as this one time, I made the decision, I'm good to go, and then we never think about it again. When in reality, this is a daily choice. Daily discipleship and a daily intentional step towards Jesus. You may find yourself in the desert, but what I beg of you is don't forget the Lord who saved and redeemed you from Egypt. This is a God who can be trusted. This is a God who was faithful, who did make a promise, and it's one he intends to keep. Moses is telling the Israelites, remember Egypt, but never forget God. Yeah, remember what you went through, but remember the God who was there with you. Remember the God who brought you out of that. He's still with you. He made a promise to guide you and to lead you, and that is not a promise he intends to break. Remember God. The third thing, though, that Moses reminds the Israelites is to remember to live differently. You see, the Israelites are at a very interesting time in the life of their society. They're getting to decide to put legislation in place and build this new society and create a new, better, gracious system than the one they experienced. Moses says at the end of verse 18, he says, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, that it was the Lord your God who redeemed and saved you. Therefore, I command you to do this. And he goes on to give this laundry list of agrarian rules of how to handle the remnants of your harvest. Essentially, he says, hey, when you leave a sheaf of grain behind, don't go back. Don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you're harvesting your grapes and your olives, if some fall to the ground or some stay on the branches of the vines, leave it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. And for us, that doesn't necessarily click into place. But for the Israelites, this would have been a massive shift from what they experienced when they were in Egypt. The reality is, we often perpetuate the same systems we come from. And what Moses is arguing is don't become like Egypt. Don't perpetuate the same broken system that you experienced yourself. We have this adage in America that goes, hurt people, hurt people. Another way to say that is the biblical way, which is lex talionis, which means eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's a system that calls for equal or greater retribution. You hurt me, therefore I will hurt you. You mistreat me, I mistreat you. And on the cycle goes. And we just create more of the same. And what Moses is saying is, don't become like Egypt. I know this is what you experienced, but we get to do something new. Be better. Live different than what you experienced. Don't become like Egypt. In reality, he's saying you weren't freed from Egypt just to become it, just to become a replication of the same system. I think for us in our walk, where obviously we have not been freed from actual Egypt, but for us, this looks like following Jesus should have an impact on our life, right? By following Jesus, there should be a noticeable difference in the way that we live. We should live differently because of Jesus. Jesus didn't save you to remain the same. Crazy thought. Follow me on this. Jesus didn't come to earth only to give you a free pass to heaven. Sometimes we make the gospel into that message. Well, Jesus came to take us all to heaven. Yeah, but also, Jesus came to show you a better way to live now, a better way to interact, a better way to love, and a better way to be an ambassador of him, Essentially, I grew up in the culture where we wore WWJD bracelets. It's saying, what would Jesus do in every situation? Following Jesus should impact your life. In Colossians, there's this early epistle that's written to the early church basically saying this is what you should do to embody the life of Jesus. And this is what it says in Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Compassion, kindness, patience, humility, love, forgiveness, peace. This is a different way to live. And I could ask you to think of examples, but I don't think it would take you long to realize that this is not the way our culture works. We are not necessarily a compassionate culture. We're not necessarily a peaceful or patient culture. Therefore, we are called to live differently. We're not called to replicate the same systems. We are called to replicate Jesus, to embody his life. Sometimes we can overcomplicate the gospel and make it this laundry list of to-dos. You got to do this, 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 and this to make God happy, to make God love you. When in reality, the gospel's pretty simple. Have faith and belief in Jesus, and then live and do the things he did. It's pretty much just that. There's some other things that are important too. But live like Jesus. And this is essentially calling for an inventory of, do we live like Jesus? Moses is saying, don't become like Egypt, instead be like God. Be like God and live differently. Instill the values and virtues that he has for this new society. As this new kingdom grows in this promised land, be different and live like God. So whether you're graduating or whether it's been many years since you were in school, the sentiment remains. Our memories are really important. They shape the way we view ourselves, but they also shape the way we view our God. And Moses consistently comes back to this reminder, don't forget Egypt, but more than that, don't forget God. Always remember where you come from, but never lose sight of where you're going. So I guess my question for you as we finish up this series of Make Your Move is, what's the next step for you? If faith is taking intentional steps towards Jesus, what's the next step for you? If you've been around the church for a long time, it might look like serving, whether that's in the church or whether that's in the community. It might look like serving. As these new life groups start, it might look like joining a group or leading a group. It might look like making intentional time to read your Bible in the mornings or at night. Maybe it looks like prayer. Whatever that next step for you is, I encourage you to choose to move towards transformation and to choose to move towards Jesus. If you're new to this, though, and you're thinking of giving this Jesus guy a shot, maybe your next step is praying with us at the end of this message. Maybe your next step is talking with a pastor. Pastor Brian and I will be down at the front. We'd love to talk with you. Maybe your next step is choosing to have faith that Jesus was who he said he was. So as we conclude today, I have a couple questions. What is your Egypt? What is God saving you from? Because I hate to break it to you, God's always saving all of us from something. And if it hasn't occurred to you yet, trust me, it will. So what's your Egypt? How has God been faithful to you in the past? What are the little or big things that God has done in your life to remind you of his faithfulness? And then lastly, how can we live differently? What are the small, intentional next steps that we can make to move towards Jesus? This has been a very long year. And in a year or 5 or 10 or 15, I wonder what it is that we'll remember. I wonder what it is when we tell our children and our grandchildren, I remember when. What is it going to be? Is it going to be, I remember going to that one boring church service and leaving and then going to Pop's Italian Beef? Or is it going to be, I remember when God saved and redeemed my life? Our memories are really important. So what will you remember? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for the ability to move towards you, to have the ability to choose to have faith. God, I pray that we do not continue the same systems that we've been in. I pray that we choose to embody you, that we choose to live a life that looks like your Son, that every day that we're alive, we become more and more like you. May we choose love over hate and kindness over division every day that we're alive. And may when people see us, may they see you. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.